Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
So can we on our high moral horses here in the United States have any degree of confidence that events that transpire far from our own communities, even if they have the capacity to horrify us in the media, can we have any confidence that they have nothing to do with us? Take the case of the brutal gang rape in India. The global internet and the ease with which populations can now encounter each other on opposite sides of the world means these days an event that seems confined to some remote society instead resonates out to claim relevance far from the original event. Joining us now is Emer O'Toole, postdoctoral researcher at Royal Holloway at the University of London. She recently wrote a piece in the aftermath of that horrible gang rape and murder case in India. Does Western reaction to that case suggest a more progressive approach to women's violence in the industrialized, educated communities of the West, or that in such communities there is far less tolerance of violence against women? What about those suppositions? In your piece, Emer O'Toole, you say looks can be deceiving. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks very much, John, for having me on.
You note particularly a case in Ohio in the United States, which you say resonates very directly the circumstances of the case in India. How did you come up with that?
Sure. I suppose the point of my article was not to draw an exact moral parity between the two events. I mean, in one case, the woman was killed, and in the other case, pictures of her abuse were posted on the internet. So they are different cases morally. But what I wanted to look at in the piece, and what I'm still very interested in, is the way in which, in the Western media, when this case has been reported on, it's reported on as if rape is somehow something that happens over there in India, something that doesn't apply to us in Europe or in North America. And I just found that really concerning. So, for example, lots of the statistics that are quoted around rape in India are quoted as if they must be very, very high. But actually, if you compare them to our own, they're quite low. And so it was really a problem with the reporting that I was taking issue with. And the reason I brought in the Ohio case was that in India there has been such media furore around this case. I mean, civil society, the political spheres, and of course the journalistic spheres are just afire. The streets have people out in them crying, men and women crying for change, who are sick of a culture of violence against women. And yet in Steubenville, Ohio, you had a cover-up of the case. People blamed the victim. There was hardly any political support for her, and you had character witnesses from the local community getting up in court and saying what great footballers these young men were who had dragged a naked, drunk, unresponsive woman from party to party, digitally penetrated her and put pictures of this on the internet. So what I wanted to do was to call attention to the differences in these public reactions without trying to claim a moral parity between these events.
Emer O'Toole, what would you say is the trigger that's missing in the Steubenville, Ohio case? And we actually have some audio that we can play. It's quite disturbing. It clearly shows voices of high school boys talking very disparagingly and degradingly about this unconscious woman who's the subject of this incident you describe. What would the trigger have been for broader community reaction, do you think?
I mean, I'm no expert on American culture or American rape culture, but I do know quite a lot about rape culture in the UK. And what I'll say is that the reason that victims are blamed here and that perpetrators can be protected is because there's a culture of victim blaming. There's a culture of, well, she got drunk, she led them on, the boys were in high spirits, look what she was wearing, what can she have expected? So, in other words, there's a culture of, instead of blaming the perpetrators, blaming the victim. And I think that's something that we very much need to look at in the UK and the Republic of Ireland, and probably, and I haven't heard this audio, but certainly from what I know about the Steubenville case, certainly something you need to look at in the US too. There is never a case to say she was too drunk, she was wearing this, she was flirting too much, she put herself in a dangerous position. We should always blame the perpetrators and not the victims.
Is there a way to say, Emer O'Toole, that a gang rape on a bus after a movie in the middle of a capital city, London, Washington, New York, would be impossible in the United States based on our moral code in these cultures?
I mean, it's conjectural, but certainly in Europe in recent times there have been instances of very brutal gang rapes that have left women dead or dying with severe injuries. So it's not simply an Eastern problem. It's not simply an Indian problem. We need to look at our own rape cultures too. And the difference between our rape culture and India's rape culture, and I am in no way denying that women in India face much greater social hurdles than we do. But the difference is that we have the social services and the legal infrastructure to protect women in our societies. And this is because we have much more money. And when you have much more money, you can afford these services. So we're very privileged, but that doesn't mean that we should stop fighting to achieve proper equality and true rights for women. But what we should do is to avoid pointing the finger and saying, that kind of rape, that kind of violence only happens over there, because it doesn't. We just have better services here. And our privilege in that regard is socially inscribed.
Well, I don't know what the services did to help this young woman who's alleged to be being assaulted in the Steubenville case.
Certainly, but there are legal structures in place that mean that if she goes to court, which of course she did herself and her parents, she does have the law on her side.
And that's an advantage over India.
Well, certainly in India, a lot less rapes are reported. We know that. In the UK, only 1 in 10 rapes are reported. I don't know the statistics for the US, but in India, it's estimated that hardly any rapes are reported because of the social stigma attached to rape and because of the notorious lack of efficiency of the police in dealing with rape. So, for example, in Delhi last year, over 600 rapes were reported, but there was only one conviction. So if you compare that to Europe, you can see that women in India might be much less likely to report rape. They'll think, well, nothing will happen anyway. There is a difference in the services there, and the kind of also in India, the legal prosecution of rape is incredibly low, things can just drag on for years.
Well, the differences and similarities both important in trying to compare and contrast here. Imar O'Toole is a postdoctoral researcher at Royal Holloway, University of London, comparing the situation of crimes against women in India with some crimes against women reported in the United States, in the UK, and Ireland. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me.